Hold on, my brother. Hold on, my sister. Let us not be weary in well-doing, because due season is coming.
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. In the first part of his message that aired last week, Dr. Raphael Thomas took us to the Epistle of 1 Timothy to point out Paul's charge to Timothy to fulfill the ministry given him by the Lord. Dr. Thomas reminded us that the Christian warfare is serious warfare that must be waged God's way. Listen with us now as Dr. Thomas finishes his message, drawing from the text four assignments the church is charged with fulfilling in order to be doing things God's way. Here again is Dr. Thomas.
So with that, we move to the second charge. If the first charge is a charge to fulfill purpose, the second charge is a charge to faithfully persevere. A charge to faithfully persevere. Because not everyone who starts the race perseveres. Some get discouraged along the way. Some lose hope in the midst of the adversity and the trials. So in verse 19, Paul says, having faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected, some have given up concerning the faith and have suffered shipwreck. Now, there are two things I want to point out in that verse about persevering. He says, having faith. The word having there is a participle, active present participle. You know, like in English, we have running. And it's easy to identify participles in English because it ends with ing. Do you think I can join the ESL staff? But it is continuous action. Some of the translations render the word used here as holding faith or having faith. It means that we must remain dynamic in faith. We cannot be passive followers. We must be actively engaged in the faith. We must be anchored in the faith and be holding on to faith. We cannot be on autopilot in this Christian life or cruise control. The Bible says, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It calls us to constant engagement, to be active in faith, holding on to faith, persevering, like the Apostle Paul said to the Philippians church, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The life that the Lord has called us to be engaged in is a life of perseverance. We have to hold fast. We have to hold on to the faith, because there are so many forces that are trying to cause us to lose heart and to lose faith and to topple over the obstacles. And so we have to be resolved to press on in the face of the difficulties. It is a charge to faithfully persevere. Not only to faithfully persevere, but to actively maintain a good conscience. Now, God has given us a moral compass as a part of His creation that helps us to be able to distinguish between right or wrong. It is called conscience. And everybody has a conscience. And sometimes you may do something and not aware of it, but that little thing begins to bother you. Don't silence your conscience. Entertain your conscience so that you can have a good conscience. You can have a clear conscience. If you're going to fight this fight, it has to be God's way. You have to listen to that device that God has put inside of you to help you to identify when you are going wrong. A charge to faithfully persevere. Persevere in faith and good conscience. My brothers and sisters, you may be at the time or at a place in your life where you're becoming tired, weary, discouraged. But don't give up yet. Because God is not through with you yet. Job said, I look to the north, the east, the west, the south. It seems like I can't find God. But one thing I know, He knows the way that I go. And when He is through with me, I shall come forth as pure gold. Hold on, my brother. Hold on, my sister. Let us not be weary in well-doing, because due season is coming. And only God knows due season. But I'm going to hold on until my due season, because God is still on His throne and He remembers His own. He says, Timothy, there is a lot of work that you will have to do, but you have to do it God's way. Hold on to the faith and hold on to a good conscience. Let nothing come between you and God. If there is sin that has crept into your life, deal with it instantly and maintain a good conscience. I must say a word about those who have experienced shipwreck because they have rejected the faith and they didn't maintain a good conscience. And Paul named two of them, Hymenaeus and Alexander. He said, whom I delivered to Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. And this could take us until after breaking of bread. But, you know, they said there are two mistakes that preachers make. One is to stop before the sermon is finished. And the second one is to continue after the sermon is finished. I will try to stop when the sermon is finished. But these two men were turned over to Satan because they were carried away from the faith. They had rejected, that word there is, they have rejected. That sounds like it was a deliberate decision. They have rejected the faith and they have suffered shipwreck. He said, I turned them over to Satan. Now, this, I believe, is an extreme case of church discipline, where after consistent admonitions, there is no sign of repentance. The church has no other option but to ask them to leave the fellowship or excommunicate them, put them out of fellowship, as we would say. So these men were turned over to Satan. But even then, the goal of discipline is restoration. That they would learn not to blaspheme. Now, the word blaspheme, according to Tyndale Bible Dictionary, is profane or contemptuous speech or writing about God. Simply put, to speak evil about God. Some commentators say the word is also used in the New Testament to refer to speaking evil or slander against other beings. So, can speak evil against God or against people or against angelic beings. And you may ask me about what about what Jesus said about blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, the unpardonable sin. And I am scared to venture there. Suffice it to say, there are times when people continually resist the promptings of the Holy Spirit. And if you continually resist the Holy Spirit and resist the call of God upon your life, there is no hope for such a person who remains in a state of resisting. And to that, there is no remedy. Because once you resist God and continue to resist God, your doom is sealed. There may actually come a time where the Spirit of God gives you opportunity over and over again and you reject it. It is God who controls time and controls the opportunities for you to respond. It's like you have to answer your telephone when you get the call. You can't wait a few minutes after, and then you run to your telephone and say, hello. That's why the Bible says, now is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. When the children of Israel got the opportunity to enter the promised land, they said no. Sometime after, they said yes. But it was too late. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation in the day of temptations in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. The Bible says, I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. They shall not enter into my rest. It is a dangerous thing to resist the call of the Holy Spirit. It is on God's terms. When you come to God, you have to come God's way, because he is the sovereign God. But we have to move on. We have, thirdly, a charge to fervent prayer. So if you are following me, we have a call to fulfill purpose, a call to faithful perseverance, and a charge to fervent prayer. And we go now to chapter 2. And it seems like the clock is going a little faster than we are going. Chapter 2, therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that they may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. Now, in this passage, four of the seven words used in the New Testament for prayer can be found. First of all, it says supplications. Then it says prayers and intercessions. Supplications emphasize personal needs. It brings the idea of petition. Prayer is a general word for prayer itself. Intercession means approaching God with confidence. It is the act of petitioning God or praying on behalf of another person or group. So it's like a go-between. It's like when God said to Moses, I'm going to destroy these people. And Moses came before God and the people and said, God, if you are going to destroy them, blot me out first. He stood before God and the people. He was an intercessor. We also have the word giving of thanks, which demonstrates an attitude of gratitude, praising God for what he has done. But there is a note in the ESV Study Bible which says, and I find this interesting, it says, Paul's point here is not to list all the ways to pray, but to pile up various terms in reference to prayer for the cumulative impact. Paul is piling up all these words to make the point, we must pray. If we're going to appropriate God's power, God's way, prayer is an important tool. We must engage in prayer. And look at the words that are used in this passage. Look at the word all. He says, first off, all. That supplication, prayers, and giving of thanks being made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness. That's all I have to say. There is an emphasis on all to bring out the point, we are called to give priority to prayer. Somebody might ask, what is in it for me? You know, sometimes we ask that question, what is in it for me? That's a common question today. But I believe us, if we look at the text, we will see that there is a reciprocal effect of prayer. If you don't understand the word reciprocal or reciprocity, I will just use the word bounce back. You understand that? There is a bounce back effect. There is a rebound when we give ourselves to prayer and pray for others. We are also the beneficiaries. It says that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life. So we pray for kings, we pray for leaders, we pray for all kinds of people so that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life. I believe the prayer affects us personally because you can be peaceful even in the storm. So it increases your capacity to be peaceful and to be quiet, to be calm. It increases our own capacity, but it also impacts the externals that cause these stressors, because God is able to change circumstance. And some research have pointed out that there are mental health benefits and physical benefits to prayer. Shirley Davis, writing in January 2020, she said, prayer has a replenishing effect on serotonin and other important neurotransmitters to create an environment where new brain cells are made and making those who practice it happier and healthier. So it's like you get that ingredient released in your system when you pray. How much can the prayer line hold? I think we might have to expand it after this. Prayer is good for us. Job 42:10 says, "And the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends." It was when Job came to that place that he was able to pray for his friends, who were in the beginning not really very good friends. But Job came to the place where he began to pray for his friends. The Bible says, "The Lord restored Job's losses." Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. When you begin to pray for your friends, your family, your church, your nation, your leaders, when you begin to pray for missionaries and begin to pray for all kinds of people in different circumstances, you will be a benefactor. And if you don't know where to begin your prayer, start with Brother Raphael. So we see that Paul gave a solemn charge to Timothy, but a tender charge to Timothy to fulfill purpose, to faithfully persevere, to be fervent in prayer, but finally, to focus on the person of Jesus Christ. It's all about Jesus, church. It is not about theology. It's not about ideology. It's not about philosophy. It is all about Jesus. And so we hear Paul saying, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." I want to remind us, it is all about Jesus. The answer to our problems is Jesus. Somebody experienced it and he said, "Oh, it is Jesus. Yes, it's Jesus in my soul. For I have touched the hem of his garment, and his blood has made me whole." We call you to surrender to Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the conquering lion from the tribe of Judah, the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valleys, the bright and morning star, the one who is, who was, and ever shall be. Somebody says he is the all-time undefeated, undisputed champion of God. His name is Jesus. And if you have not yet committed your life to this Jesus, he is calling you today.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, "Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved?" You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this: "Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen." And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.